Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Lower Columbia Hospice is a 501c3 organization providing a vital service here in our community. Today, we'll find out more about what they do and about their upcoming Race to the Bar, which happens this Saturday, September 6th. It's a fundraiser. There's a beach bonfire sunset. It's a great cause, and we will find out why we all need to know more about hospice. Today, my guest is Jeanette Schecker. Jeanette is a home health and hospice manager she is the head of Lower Columbia Hospice, and she's also a doctor of physical therapy. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here today as well. And before we begin talking about hospice, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have lived in the Astoria area for probably about the last 14 years. I'm a doctor of physical therapy, as you said, and that's really kind of how I got drawn to hospice, was as a physical therapist and seeing patients that way. I found out very quickly that I had a heart for hospice, and there was something about it that kept drawing me back and drawing me back. So that's how I became interested in hospice and started working with hospice. I've been the manager of Lower Columbia Hospice for about the last 3.5 years. I've worked with Columbia Memorial Hospital with their hospice and their home health program for the last 7 years as a therapist. I live here in Astoria. I have 2 little boys and a husband that I live with and our dog. And we love the area. We're not going anywhere. So this is definitely where we're meant to be.
And how did you come into hospice then as a physical therapist?
So as a physical therapist, I would go out and I would see families and I would see patients, and we'd work on all sorts of different things. A lot of times it was, did we have the right equipment in the home, and did the family know how to use the equipment? Did we need to teach the patient or the family how to do things like transfers, how to get from the bed to the commode or to the toilet? A lot of times it was, you know, patients that although they had a terminal illness, they weren't really ready to give up living. So they wanted to maintain their independence as long as possible. And those are really, you know, interesting and fun patients to see. We wanted to make sure that they had quality of life. And if quality of life meant I want to be able to get up and get out of bed and sit in a chair and visit with my family members, then that's where physical therapy became involved.
And maybe we should talk about what the mission is of hospice. I think most people think about hospice and they think about death and dying. Mm-hmm. Please tell us the mission of Lower Columbia Hospice and why it means so much more than just that.
Sure. You know, our mission is to provide comfort and compassionate care for patients in Clatsop County that have terminal illnesses. And I think that even still leads you to believe that our focus is on death and dying. I think if I could let anybody know anything, it's that as much as hospice is a focus on death and dying, it's about a focus on living. And it's about giving quality of life, making sure people are comfortable, making sure people know what to expect and they're educated about what's coming next. We're here for patients, but as much as we're here for patients, I think we're here for families. We make sure that families have the support they need, whether it be through our nurses or physical therapists, but also through social workers, chaplains. We can bring out aides that can kind of help with personal care, because sometimes families don't necessarily want to be caregivers, so we can help provide that care. We also provide bereavement, which is something I think a lot of people forget about, is once your loved one is passed, there's a lot of issues to deal with, and there's a lot of feelings and grieving to deal with. Part of hospice is for 13 months afterwards, we have a social worker available to you for bereavement. So I think it's important to remember that hospice is as much about patients and the actual patient that we're treating, but it's really about providing care for that family and those caregivers as well.
We talked a little earlier before we started to go live here, and that is about you wish people would think about the idea of bringing hospice in much earlier. And so hospice, like, when is someone eligible? Because if let's say someone goes to a doctor and they say, you know, I'm sorry, but you have a terminal illness. And of course, no one can predict 5 months, 5 weeks, 5 years. I mean, who really knows? So how does that all work?
Sure. None of us have a crystal ball. So it gets a little tricky on when is the appropriate time for hospice. And I say tricky because it completely depends on what the individual's diagnosis is. So for instance, somebody with cancer, if you have cancer, that it has metastasized to somewhere else in your body and you're not seeking treatment to actually treat that cancer, then hospice is an appropriate option for you. Something like heart disease gets a little more tricky. We need labs. We need to know exactly kind of how progressed your heart disease is to make sure that you qualify. Insurance has tightened the ropes on us a little bit, just like it has in every area of medicine. But Medicare is making sure before we can put somebody on for, say, heart failure, that they meet certain qualifications. And if it's for lung disease, they're different qualifications. It's for kidney disease, they're different qualifications. If it's for dementia, they're different qualifications. So it really, truly depends on what your diagnosis is. What I would suggest to people is, you know, when your doctors are telling you there's not much more that they can do, or even sometimes before they tell you that, if you're starting to look at somebody and they're tired of going back to the hospital and people just want to be at home and they want to be comfortable, give hospice a call. What we do is we talk to your doctor, we find out what we think, what direction we'd be going with the diagnosis, and we'll come out and visit you. And we'll take a look at you and see if we think that you qualify. We may tell you, and you know, we're not quite there yet. But at least, you know, you've kind of gotten in the loop and you know who your resources are, the people to talk to.
And you have a doctor, a hospice doctor. There are nurses. There are volunteers. There are aides of all types. There are people who I have to say that I trained as a hospice volunteer with Lower Columbia Hospice some years ago and worked with a patient. And then my sister, graduated last year, she worked with hospice. You all were amazing. And also my father. The challenge is, I think, when you're right, as you say, when do you bring in hospice? Because there, I think, is a lot of denial around, no, this person really isn't dying. They could bounce back. Mm-hmm. And you actually have people who sometimes graduate from hospice.
We sure do. And that's a pretty phenomenal thing to see happen. But it happens quite frequently. You know, what's the reason for that? It's hard to say exactly. What I really like to believe is a lot of times hospice gets involved and we're very symptom oriented. We are looking at what is the patient's level of pain. Are they having nausea? Are they having anxiety? What's going on here? And sometimes we've been in and someone will say, oh, we didn't think this person had pain, but we'll take a second look and maybe they're not verbalizing that they have pain, but we're seeing other signs and symptoms that let us know that they have pain. So we're getting those symptoms under control as our main focus. And our nurses are absolute miracle workers at that. Sometimes when people have their symptoms under control and we're looking at things like making sure that they're eating enough and they're eating the right things, people start to get better. And they get better to the point where they don't qualify for hospice anymore, which sometimes is a hard thing to break to a family that, you know, your loved one has gotten to the point of where they're actually doing so well, they're not going to meet that hospice criteria anymore, and we have them graduate. It doesn't mean that they don't come back to us. Usually they do. In fact, they almost always do. And so at that point, we bring them back on hospice. You can come off and on hospice as many times as you need to in your lifetime. So there's really no restrictions that
way. So the important thing is to call hospice in earlier because you provide so much support and information and education for the patient as well as for the family.
Right.
And then how is hospice funded?
So it kind of depends on what kind of insurance you have. Most people who are ready for hospice tend to be of an age where they are eligible for Medicare. And so Medicare has what they call the hospice benefit. What that means is when you decide you're ready for hospice, you sign over from your regular Medicare to your hospice Medicare. As soon as you become hospice eligible and you're on hospice, we kind of become your insurance company, for lack of a better word. So hospice is going to supply now all of the medications that are related to your terminal condition. We're going to make sure that any equipment that you need, we're going to provide it. We're going to pay for it and get it into your home. We're going to provide those nursing services related to your terminal condition. If we need our medical director, Dr. Baxter, to come out and take a look at you, we pay for that. So all of the care that's being provided related to that terminal condition is provided by us and paid for by us. The way we get reimbursed is Medicare then pays us a daily rate to take care of hospice patients.
However, you accept donations and you're doing this fundraiser because there are people who don't have all the necessary resources. Insurance doesn't pay for everything.
Right. So, you know, when we talk about Medicare, that makes it really easy because it's a pretty, you know, they cover a lot. Not everybody has Medicare. Some people have insurances that have copays, and those copays start to rack up daily, which gets expensive with hospice. A lot of times there's medications that maybe the medication is not related to your terminal condition, but it's going to make your life a whole lot better. Hospice wants to be able to pay for that for you. Maybe there's a piece of equipment that isn't necessarily related to something you need, but it's going to make your life a whole lot easier, and we want to make sure we can take care of that. Sometimes it's to the extent of where perhaps either someone lives alone or their family can't take care of them in their own home environment, and they need to go live somewhere else, but they don't necessarily have the financial means to do that. Hospice wants to make sure you're in a safe environment, so we have at times paid for people to go live somewhere else so that we can make sure they get the care they need.
Right, because if you are living alone, let's say, and you don't have resources, a care facility can be, what, I think you said $6,000 to $8,000 a month.
$6,000 to $8,000 a month, and if you're on hospice and you go to, say, you know, in our area, the care center, Medicare doesn't cover room and board there for hospice patients. Medicaid does, but a lot of people don't qualify for Medicaid. So if you don't have that coverage, your family is looking at $6,000 to $8,000 a month, which is more than most families are prepared to be able to pay for.
Do you feel that hospice is growing and that there's more awareness now? Because I think in maybe 20 or 30 years ago, hospice was just kind of, oh, that's just, a lot of people didn't know, but it's really on the radar now. Why is hospice being embraced by so many people? Why do you think more and more people are aware of it and are choosing this option?
I think that people are starting to see the benefit that there is to hospice, and maybe some of that stigma is going away, that when you think of hospice, you just think of death. When people think of hospice, I want people to think about living. I want them to think about quality of life and time with their family and moments that they can truly enjoy. So I'm hoping that maybe some of that's a stigma going away. I think the other stigma that kind of goes with hospice sometimes is people think of hospice and they think of cancer. In reality, cancer patients are probably only 30 to 40% of our patients. We see patients with all kinds of diagnosis. So I think that that's another reason. I think we're also coming to, you know, we live in an area where we have physicians that support what we do and support end-of-life care. And so that's helped us a lot. But more than anything, it's this community. The community talks and they know, they're really starting to know what hospice is and what kind of services we can provide for people.
And you do need extra funding, because also sometimes I know there's a wait list. I know that when, you know, a friend of mine had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and he could not get on hospice right away. He had to wait for a while.
Yeah.
And then when he was able to get on hospice, it was wonderful.
There are times, you know, we don't live in a big area. We only have so many nurses, and to be able to control the costs of hospice, we try to really keep a small crew, but yet make sure our needs are met. And so there are times when we're getting a whole lot of referrals that we may tell you it's going to be a week before we come out. That's another reason I think it's really important that hospice can't be a last minute emergency decision. We're there for people when they need it to be, but hospice can't do the magic that hospice is capable of doing in a day or 12 hours. Hospice is about building relationships, and when a family can trust the nurse and the caregivers that are coming in, that relationship takes us a long ways at getting people comfortable and making sure that everybody's getting their needs met. So coming on hospice before it becomes an emergency is really important.
And that goes back again to that idea of denial of death. Instead of celebrating the dying experience and death, and we talked about that before, let's just visit about this. We celebrate birthing experiences, and yet we don't. We are afraid of, we deny it, we try to push it away. How, and that's why we talked about this film Griefwalker, made by the Film Board of Canada, about Stephen Jenkinson. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, this is probably the thing that draws me to hospice the most. And it's about the difference between birth and death. In our society, we're very used to preparing for birth. We have baby showers. We make sure that room is ready. We do absolutely everything we can to have everything ready. We don't do that with death. And I think it's, you know, just the way part of our society views death, but we don't want to think about that. Nobody wants to think that they're going to die, but the truth of the matter is we all are, and shouldn't we be as prepared for that as we are for birth? Shouldn't we be celebrating that life that has, you know, all the things that this person has accomplished and the relationships and the family members? Why aren't we celebrating that like we do with birth? And I think a lot of it is we think of death as a very sad event, and it is. But a lot of time it's a sad event for the family members that are left behind.